those that will share a post about what the week of Easter means, about what Christ went through these 4 or 5 days, the people that will comment on a post that says he is risen, and they'll comment, hallelujah. If all these people were saved, America would be a different place. Does that make sense? Because each of these pictures are getting millions and millions of views and millions and millions of comments. And it's because people post these things because they attract attention. If only the world believed it. You know, there are still people today that believe that Jesus never rose. Right? Gospel of Matthew says that it is believed unto this day. And it is. So certain Orthodox Jews especially believe that Jesus was not the Messiah. Others believe that he didn't rise. And that's their justification for him not being the Messiah. And whenever we talk about Easter, we shouldn't skip to the end. Over the next few days, and if you ever get an opportunity to witness a live action, it's called Passion Plays, but it's people acting out, it's people putting on an interpretation of the Passion of Christ, and the Passion of Christ is something that is viewed as brutal, and even videos and pictures of it online are covered up for violating community standards. But there's no passion play, there's no movie, there's no picture that can do justice the cruelty and the agony that Jesus suffered the few days before Easter. And we celebrate Easter with bright colors, and somebody's going to show up here in a pink sports coat on Sunday. It ain't going to be me because mine burned up in the house and I hadn't bought a new one. But somebody's going to show up in a pink sports coat somewhere, somehow. People are going to wear their spring colors. They're going to break out the bright blues, and you can finally wear white again because you're not supposed to wear white shoes between Labor Day and Easter, right? Am I right? Got it figured out. People are going to wear white again, and it's just ushering in springtime. And we plant our gardens usually right around Easter, between Good Friday and the week following Easter. And it's a time to celebrate because everything is blooming. Everything is coming out. Everything is blossoming. Everything is wonderful. And there's another song that I was listening to today, and I want to share it with you. It's called Thank God for Sunday Morning. People say they know that exactly when Easter happened, exactly when the resurrection was, exactly how it all broke out, and it all landed exactly the way it is today. I'm not sure. It don't matter to me. But the way the song goes, it assumes that resurrection morning was on Sunday morning. And the song goes, death thought it had won. Evil thought it had won. It thought it was over, and Friday night looked like the end of the story. Thank God for Sunday morning. And as we look at Easter and we have a sunrise service because it's a special service, it's a special day. And as we look at Easter, we should view it as a special day. This Easter, I want to challenge you to do something that you've never felt comfortable doing before in the Lord. Share Christ with somebody else. Share the crucifixion and the resurrection with somebody else. Share what Jesus' blood did for you with somebody else. Don't just click share on Facebook. Don't just retweet it or whatever it is that you do with it. Don't treat it like normal. It's not normal. Resurrection is not normal. Chapter 117 of Psalm. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of our Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. That chapter didn't have to be long, because that's enough. Right? That's enough. Praise ye the Lord. But we don't want to sing. Praise ye the Lord, but we don't want to stand up. Praise ye the Lord, but we want to listen to George Strait. Praise ye the Lord, but we don't want somebody to hear us. Praise ye the Lord, but we can come up with every excuse not to. The psalmist here said, praise ye the Lord, all ye nations. You know why? And so many people, and I hope and pray that y'all ain't one now, and I hope you never are. But so many people believe that Christ came and died for a certain group of people called the elect. It's the tulip doctrine is what it is. It's Calvinism at its core. They believe that Christ came and died for a certain group of people, that is a certain few that he shed his blood for. And whenever I read Psalms and all through Psalms, he says, "Praise ye the Lord, all ye people. Praise the Lord, all ye nations." And he uses the word "all" because every single nation, every single person, every single group of people has a reason to praise the Lord. And it's the same reason that we have to praise him today. We praise the Lord because of his merciful kindness toward us. Because the truth of the Lord endureth forever. So many people this week are going to miss the truth of the Lord. They're going to miss the truth of the resurrection. All they see is an empty tomb. And I want you to look. I want you to watch. Watch how many pictures of an empty hole in the side of a mountain with a round rock in front of it you see. And it'll say, "He is risen." Watch how many times you see that. Focus on how many times you see that over the next few days. And Jesus is not mentioned. It says he is risen. But everybody don't know what that means. Brother Randy, you grew up in church. You better know what that means. Everybody didn't. Some people are seeing a hole in the wall. And we are in a place today in society where there are more people than ever before that does not know what that means. They don't know what he is risen mean. And they'll even post that Jesus has risen from the grave. People will say, "And? And? And?" But us, the ones who know what he did, the ones who know why Jesus rose, the ones who know why Jesus shed his blood, the ones who know what it's all about, we're the ones that don't want to tell nobody. We're the ones that don't want to praise the Lord. We're the ones that want to skip that part because it's awkward. We want to skip that part because it's uncomfortable. Whenever a kid stands up to walk, do they always get it the first time? Some of you may have. I didn't. Bailey didn't. Brady's trying to, but he ain't got it yet. Whenever a kid stands up to walk, they can't walk. If you've ever seen a baby horse born, it's the most beautiful example I can find. Whenever a baby horse is born, if they don't die, because horses have their foals standing up. So the baby falls out of his mother and plop, and if it does not break its neck or leg on impact, the baby will stand up. And for the first several hours of its life, that baby cannot stand up. The mama helps it, and the mama tries to push on it, nuzzle it up, and help pick it up. But that baby will walk, and them knees are shaped like nothing you've ever seen. In and out, back and forth, and that baby horse will take two or three steps, and boom, flat on its face. Cannot stand up for nothing. And then gets his feet under. And within 24 hours of birth, that horse is running. Right? But whenever we first try to walk, and whenever horses first try to walk, it's uncomfortable. It's weird because we've never done it before. It's weird because it's never happened before. It's weird because we won't put ourselves out there. Eventually, if you don't, people's going to start thinking something's wrong with you. And that's the way a lack of growth Christian looks like to everyone else. Whenever we refuse to put ourselves out there, whenever we can't express Jesus, whenever we can't tell people about the blood, whenever we can't tell people about what happened to us. I was reading a book, a man that used to be an atheist, and the foreword of the book, I hadn't got much further. The foreword of the book was written by his father, uncle, grandfather, somebody, a man in his family. Anyway, they were all atheists, and the man started a journey in his life to try to prove that God did not exist. That was his goal. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Y'all are going to have to go find this dude. His name is Lee something or other. He was a journalist. Anyway, it's a great book. And he started his goal trying to prove that Christ does not exist. Okay? In his journey, all he found was evidence that God did exist. But in the foreword, the man who wrote it said, if Christians truly believe in a God, and they have truly experienced what they claim to have experienced, and they truly know what they claim to know, then they would act different. That hurts, don't it? If Christians truly knew God the way that we claim to know God, then the world would not be able to contain our joy, our excitement. Why would we not want to share that with every person that we meet? Why would we not want to share that with our kids, with our families? Why are so many people Sunday morning Baptist? Sunday morning church members? Why are so many people Christmas and Easter church members? I believe that it's because they haven't yet understood, seen, maybe even known Jesus at all, even through salvation. But I believe that it's because we can't see clearly His merciful kindness toward us. We can't see clearly His truth. Chapter 118, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel say now that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron say now that His mercy endureth forever. Let them that know that now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. That is the reason we celebrate Easter, because God was merciful to us who did not deserve it. Because God was merciful to us whenever we deserved death, whenever we deserved hell, whenever we deserved anything but His prized possession. That's the reason we celebrate Easter, is because of His mercy, it's because of His love. It's because Jesus knew what He was getting Himself into, and He did it anyway. It's because Jesus knew how bad it was going to hurt, and He did it anyway. It's because He knew how bad it was going to kill Him physically, mentally, emotionally. It was going to rip Him apart, and He knew it. And He did it anyway. Acts chapter number 1. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Acts chapter number 1, Jesus comes back and He's risen, and it's been a few days, 40 of them or so. And He came and assembled them together. And He told them, and this is considered to be the last words of Christ. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall. Now, the language here is a bit confusing. If you take it back to where it was originally translated, the particular word here that they used for shall means about three different things. One means that you can. One means is that you must. And one is that you ought to, that you should. All three translate into this one word here that is used, which is shall. He said, you can, you must, you ought to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, He was taken up. We put a lot of faith in people's last words. We put a lot of stock in it. My wife and I have recently, in light of recent events, created a will. And it's called the Last Will and Testament at the top of it. And after we're gone, those are considered to be our last words, the last will and testament of these individuals. And whenever people are laying on their hospital beds, and so many people down through history, we have documented very little of what they said, but we have a lot of documented last words. A lot of them. A lot of people that receive Christ on their deathbed, a lot of people that repent on their deathbed, a lot of people that praise Him, a lot of people that deny Him on their deathbed. But we have a lot of historical record of last words of people, and so there's a lot of stock put into it. But we treat the last words of Jesus like the comics in the paper. It's good to read every now and then, but we're going to throw it out anyway. Do we not treat God's word that way sometimes? It's good to read every now and then. Makes us feel good every now and then. Even sometimes convicts us, but we just try hard to forget about it afterwards. If we really believed in Jesus the way that we should, we would follow His last words, His last command, to be witnesses of Him. If we really believed in God the way that we should, we would praise Him. If we really believed in God the way that we say we do, the way that we swear we do, then we would sing and not mumble. We would sing. If we really believed in God the way that we say we do, we'd read His word. If we really believed in God the way that we say we do, we would pray. We would witness. We would testify of Jesus. We would tell others the way that He changed my life. Mackenzie sings a song, and she's not the first one to sing it. I'm pretty sure I heard it on the radio. But she said that the name of the song was "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus." Let my Jesus change your life. I love that line of the song. Let my Jesus change your life. You know what that means? Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let's get very, very personal. And let me tell you what He did for me. How He has impacted me. And I'm not talking about just sharing a salvation experience. That's not testifying. If you share the moment that God saved you, that is witnessing for Christ, but that's not where it stops. Unless Jesus has done nothing for you since. Did God stop with salvation whenever He was working on you? So why do we stop with salvation? Why do we stop it all? Praise ye the Lord. Y'all see how excited them kids was to go hunt Easter eggs tonight? Adults should be that excited to come into the church and sing and praise God. These lights have not shaken a single service that we've been in here, and I'm kind of disappointed. We hung them a little further from the ceiling just so they would maybe shake. And they haven't shaken yet. And I know they can because I made them shake. I know they can shake. We ain't singing loud enough. When people praise God, and I'm not saying that we should sing for volume, we should sing for worship, for praise of our God, and that's the only reason, not to be heard, not to be praised of men, and not to be louder than the person beside us, but because God is worthy of our praise. But what do you think heaven's going to be like? Serious question. What do you think heaven's going to be like? Praising. I've heard a lot of different answers. That's one of them. Do you think there'll be big bucks in heaven? Better be. Gobblers with 14-inch beards and 2-inch spurs. Throw your line out in the river of life and all you catch is 15-pound bass. The problem with the human imagination is we want heaven to be a jacked up earth. Ain't gonna be no deer in heaven. Ain't gonna be no fish in heaven. I really don't believe there will be. If they are, then we're not gonna enjoy it. We're not gonna care. Our mind's gonna be elsewhere.
There'll be people singing that never have sung before.
I always told Brother Glenn Irwin, He never would sing in church. He said, I don't sing, I make a racket. He never would sing in church. And the last, as far as I know, the last conversation I ever had with him was sitting around the table at my mama's house. And I told him, I said, one day you will. He just laughed and chuckled. Whether you think you can sing or not, one day you will. And I believe that whenever we, you know, go to sleep on this earth and we wake up in heaven, that our minds will be blown. And have we not been supernaturally strengthened by God, that we would just, our consciousness wouldn't be able to handle it. Our human mind, our human brain wouldn't be able to handle it. But whenever we are changed, whenever we enter into paradise, whenever we're before God, He's going to have to strengthen us to be able to take it. And I believe that we'll be able to see people and we'll know people. And the Bible says that we will know as we've been known. And I believe that we'll know and we'll see Noah and we'll see Paul and we'll see Peter and we'll shake their hands, but we won't be paying attention to them. We'll be praising the man that rose from the grave. We'll be standing before God and we'll be worshiping Him. And we will be singing. And we will be shouting. And we will be praising. And every day more than the day before. More than the day before. More than the day before. In a greater way and in a greater way. And whenever we think we can't praise Him more, we will be praising Him more a few minutes later. And we will spend eternity worshiping and praising a God who is worthy of all of it. A God who did things for us on this earth that we will never remember, but we will praise Him anyway. A God who saved us from a hell that we will forget. Because God's going to wipe it all away and we will praise Him for that. We will look around and we will see our loved ones and we will praise Him for that. We will look around and we will see strangers and we will praise Him for that. There's a song, and I've been trying to learn it to sing it, and I have a terrible time finding music for it. The name of the song was Look For Me At Jesus' Feet. It's one of my dad's favorite songs. He says, when I leave this world of sorrow, whenever my time has come, just wait for me in heaven when my race down here is run. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'm going to be. I'll be thanking Christ my Savior for saving a wretch like me. Don't look beneath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the street of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper or among the many sights untold. For I've been longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to see. And there I'll be through the endless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. As we celebrate Easter and as we praise God for all He's done for us, as we share a risen Savior with the world, let's not forget to share that risen Savior with the world. It's not just about an empty grave. It's about the man that came out of it. It's not just about a resurrection. It's about the blood that was shed for our soul. His resurrection was proof that He was good enough. His resurrection was proof. Undeniable proof that He was God. His resurrection was a conquering of everything. He beat the world. He beat people. He beat sin. He beat Satan. He beat death and He beat the grave and He did it all for us. Let's testify that this Easter. Let's share that. I know most of you are going to get together with family. I'm going to try real hard to myself. Let's share that with them. Let's wake up on Sunday morning and sing the song, the old song Inspirations used to sing, What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again. And if He came again, would we be okay with where He finds us? Are we not going to make it to church? Are we not going to share Christ with the world? Are we going to be somewhere that we ought not be? Are we going to be doing something we ought not be doing? Or will we be okay with Jesus finding us? Will we be okay with those we've shared Christ with already? Or do we have more to do? Do we have more praise to offer up to God? Do we have more testifying to bring to others? I believe that we have work to do. We have a job to do, and the Easter season is a great time to do it in.